I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello, I'm Sarah Keyworth.
And I'm Mickey Overman.
And I'm Lucas Jeffcoat.
And this is Thank Fuck for That, a podcast that was about life-changing moments.
And sometimes still is.
But the life of this podcast has changed into more of a fun catch-up with three friends and the occasional guest, if we can get our shit together. Enjoy the show.
Enjoy.
Enjoy.
Here we go.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey.
Good
day.
Across the world.
Good afternoon, everybody.
Yeah. Sarah's accent is changing now.
Good afternoon, everybody.
Too much time in the Southern Hemisphere?
I think I've just spending too much time with the Aussies out here. We've been having too much coffee and brunch, and it's really getting to my accent. It's a pleasure to see you both.
It's not great.
To see you.
It was a bit South African, wasn't it, actually?
Yeah, you weren't able to say coffee in any kind of
coffee.
Australian way.
Coffee.
Yeah, I don't.
Coffee.
I mean, I can't either. So,
well, maybe you should stop throwing stones then.
No. I start by throwing stones, and then I gradually.
I begin by throwing stones, and then I go, "Give me my stones back."
And then I end up being just a real fan of the both of you.
Oh,
you know, but that's the end. Yeah.
Full circle.
Yeah, full circle. Every episode, it's exhausting.
I look forward to that. Look forward to the end already.
Yeah. How
skip to that.
How's ours, please?
Oh, it's nice. I'm having a nice time. I absolutely do you remember that time that I got really high and went up a mountain?
Yes. Yes, I do remember.
How can we
that.
Forget?
I did it again.
I did it again.
Oh yeah.
No mountain.
Another mountain.
No mountain involved this time.
Where have you gone?
So I've got on this wine tour. We go on a wine tour. We're talking me.
It's already a disaster.
Me, Celia AB, Dan Tiernan, John Kearns. Who else is there? Vigo Venn, Julia Masley. Oh,
good group.
Fern Brady, she's the culprit. Fern Brady's there. Chloe Petz is there. Nice gaggle. Who else was it? Kenan Gill. A great, lovely bunch. We're all having we have a very nice day. Couldn't fault it, couldn't ruin it if you tried. Unless on the bus, on the way back home, everybody has an edible. Oh.
Why? Why after the wine?
What a mistake of Jamaica. Because we're all having a great time, Mickey. We're all having a great time. We all feel absolutely incredible. So when Fern Brady goes, oh, I got these edibles from the, I got a medicinal weed license. She starts handing out these things.
Good Fern, yeah.
She starts handing them out. She goes, they're not very strong. Don't worry about it. I go, okay, fine.
Famous last words.
Famous last words. I can't believe you fell for that again.
Come on, Sarah.
I take one. I feel amazing for approximately 1 hour. 1 hour, I feel amazing.
What an hour,
We get back into Melbourne. We get back into
Are you
the
on the bus
center.
For this hour?
Yeah.
So this hour that you feel incredible, you've wasted on the bus?
I'm on the bus, but they're playing music. Shania's on. I'm having a great time. and then we get into Melbourne, and everyone's like, "We're going to go get some food. We're going to go for a meal." Chloe Pet strides off into the Chinatown bit. We're all following them. They'll know what to do, so we follow Chloe through. We walk into this restaurant. They show us to our table. It's the poshest Chinese restaurant I've ever been in my life. They take us up to a, because there's like 10 of us, they take us up to a mezzanine floor that we're just on. It's bright lights. It's, and then they show us to this big round table like the traitors. And then we all sit down on it. It's got
you start picking each other off one by one.
It's literally got a Lazy Susan in the middle of it. There's no music playing. We're the only ones in there. The atmosphere is very, very strange. And then I proceed to have the most uncomfortable meal of my life, where I'm just freaking out at the table. Like, I'm just
It wasn't like the actual meal was uncomfortable. You were uncomfortable.
I was just having a complete mental breakdown.
And
the discussions about what we're gonna eat, what are we gonna get stuff for the table, we're gonna get our own, but just feeling like it just, I was like, this is not gonna go well for, this isn't going well. I was like, this is not going well. I just go, can I have a bowl of rice, please? It comes, I'm freaking out. Everything feels like it's been taking so long. I was like, I gotta get out of here. I gotta leave this restaurant. Chloe accidentally orders 64 dumplings. But nobody's laughing. I'm laughing my head off at this. I'm sat there laughing my head off because I'm like, I can't believe you ordered 64 dumplings. Nobody else, because everybody else is high, so everyone's like, that's bad. Everybody was individually having the worst time at this meal, but nobody was saying anything because we were all just freaking out. And then eventually, I have like 2 spoonfuls of rice, and then I turn to Celia and I go, I've got to go. I've got to leave. I've got to go.
Yeah.
And Celia goes, yeah, I'll come with you. So I get up, and they all look at me, and I go, I've got to go. And then I go, this is the longest meal that anybody has ever been to. Fern Brady texted me the next day saying she was still laughing at me saying that. And she was like, the reason it was so funny is because we'd been there less than half an hour.
Yeah, absolutely. That is great.
That's amazing. That's so great.
That's so great.
Oh man, it was awful.
I've never related more to a drug taking experience.
I hated it. I've absolutely learned my lesson.
But not for drugs though. I related this just in life.
Anxiety. Yeah, there was jazz playing, Mickey.
Yeah.
This is my jazz breakdown. We've been here for 6 minutes, Mickey. Oh no.
It was absolutely awful. It was completely awful.
Oh my God, Sarah.
I'm sorry. That is terrible.
When are you going to learn about these edibles?
I sent Louisa a voice note, which I think just started with, I've done it again. And I was like, I don't know why I never learned, Louisa. But I think I've learned my lesson now. I'm not doing that again. Never again. Never again. I think because the last time it went wrong for me, I'd taken 2 and I thought 1 would be fine.
Yeah, but on top of the wine, though.
No, fucking hell.
Yeah, fucking wine makes it worse.
No way, no way.
How was the wine? I want to know about the wine.
The wine was absolutely lovely. We went to 2 wineries. This is the worst bit. We went to 2 vineyards, and then we went to a gin distillery and then a brewery. We've had wine, then gin, then beer. And then we all go, let's have an edible.
Too much of a good thing.
Have I ever told you my story of when I went on a brewery tour and I couldn't walk?
No.
Oh. My friend, this was back when I was living in Vancouver, and my friend Benjamin, who was from Australia. Oh my God, this is beautiful.
Full circle.
And he's here. I don't know why he would be in my living room. It'd be so creepy. But he really wanted to go to Portland because it's known for like its craft breweries kind of situation. Mm. And so we took the bus because you can go, you know, it's on the west coast of North America. So we took the bus from Vancouver to Portland. And and we were going out one night, and when we went out, I danced too enthusiastically.
Oh no.
And yes, and I hurt my back. And it had happened to me one time before in my life where it's like a back spasm so bad that I can't stand up straight afterwards. So I woke up and I couldn't stand up like at all. I had to walk in a 90 degree angle, like a really old person who's like suffered from, you know. Yeah. So I, but the whole goal of the trip was to go to these wineries or to these breweries. So I'd managed during the morning to do enough exercises that I'd sort of managed to get up to like 45 degrees.
Oh my God.
And then we went on the tour, and I don't think people quite like realized it like in the beginning, because I was kind of upright. But then as the beer got into my body, I just like, I just went closer and closer to 90 degrees again. Until at the end, I just was like, I was walking again in like a little square. And
I can't believe they were still serving you, because I would have thought you
I know, because that was the thing. I kept saying to him, I was like, doesn't this look like I'm the drunkest person who's ever lived? I can't even stand up straight.
You can't even support the weight
you
of your own head.
Folded in the middle.
I just folded in the middle. Like, it looked absolutely mental, yet they kept serving me. And the people who were with...
They're having to go underneath you. Here you are. Here you are. They're giving you a straw with it.
Yeah. And the people who I was with just thought that I was like... I don't even know what they... No one mentioned it. I was just like, this looks crazy. Do you think I'm getting more beer from somewhere else? Do you think I'm, like, sneaking... Like, because we're just getting, like, tasters. Do you think I'm, like, sneaking, like, full pints somewhere?
It's mad that nobody mentioned it. That's insane.
It is so but insane. Maybe,
is it just, like, sensitivity to be, like, you don't bring it up?
I think they were all Americans, and they were all, I think, like, too lovely to you know, like, they were just so friendly.
She's Dutch, it's cultural.
Do you know what I mean? If I genuinely think if we had been with, like, a bunch of Dutch people, they would have been, like... They would have been like, this is stupid. What are you doing? Leave the tour.
Leave the tour.
I think they would have been like, leave the tour. You look ridiculous. And so I finally like made, we were going to go out again before we took the bus back. But I was like, I can't go out. So then I was just in the hostel. You know, when you like have a shared room in the hostel, because because you're young. And then I just had my legs up on a chair. And I just lay on the floor of the hostel.
Oh, God.
It's like so pathetic.
Yeah. Legend.
Yeah. Legend.
Pretty cool.
I don't have like cool drug stories. All of my stories
are
like this.
From breweries.
Yeah.
Don't go to breweries.
Sounds like they lead to bad things.
They break your back.
Oh, yes.
Give you
young
edibles.
Lucas. Young Lucas, don't go on the winery tour.
Young Lucas, if
don't see where alcohol comes
if
from.
If there's a takeaway of this.
If there's a takeaway of this, young Lucas, stay indoors.
Don't do the edibles on the bus.
I've done plenty of edibles in bad places, but I've never been to a brewery. I've never seen where alcohol comes from.
Oh, gosh. You don't know how
Noel
the sausage
really
is
wants
made.
To go to... No. And I don't want to know.
And you don't?
I don't want to know.
No.
I'm just happy to eat that sausage.
Just put that sausage
I love that
in
sausage.
Me. Yeah.
Mm-mm-mm. Okay. Put it in a sandwich.
It's got
with
disgusting
eggs.
Very quick.
However you eat your sausages.
This got disgusting very quick. It should be the name of this podcast.
Yeah.
It's like, how quick can we get to cum?
Yeah.
I was at a gig yesterday, and then our friend Neil O'Rourke leaned over to me and went, we're all making a lot of cum jokes, aren't we? I was like, yeah, because it's funny.
Yeah, it is funny.
It's
loosen up, Neil.
Yeah.
Lucas, tell us about your week.
Lucas.
Please.
My week has been good. It's been good. No edibles, no drugs. I saw Noel for the first time act. You know, I've never seen Noel act in the entire time
I have
been an actor.
You think that everything that she's done up until this point in your relationship
is what I'm saying. This is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Oh, I've seen her act in front of me.
Oh, yeah.
She pretends to like me all the time.
set the scene. Let's do some proper.
So it's part of a festival that she's been doing.
Nice.
A festival over the weekend where there's many short plays. She's in 2 15-minute short plays.
That's brilliant.
And I got to see both of them, but she was absolutely petrified that I would break up with her if she wasn't good. Because I would.
Yeah. Of course,
I told her this. It stakes for all.
I'm single now.
I stand up at the end of the performance just so that everyone knows I am now single. Yeah. That was so bad.
Yes. To the woman who played Nancy, you are no longer my girlfriend. Walk out the door.
I like the idea that no one thought that it was like related to anyone in the play. That you saw the play and just took something so profound away from it that you were like, I am now single.
I am no longer in a relationship.
I'm getting divorced.
How did she do, please?
She was so good. It was quite the opposite, actually. I wanted to stand up and shout, that's my girlfriend.
Oh, that's nice.
She was the funny one. Yeah. She was in two plays. One of the plays, they had to like content warnings at the beginning of all the plays to like warn viewers of any distressing topics. But one of them was the topics at the beginning of her plays was that, just to let you guys know, there will be incest in this play.
Oh my god!
Everyone
else
was
girlfriend.
Like,
my
my girlfriend's the hot sister. You know the one making out with her sister? That's my girlfriend.
That's my girlfriend. And that's her brother.
Oh my god. It's incest in a 15-minute play.
Oh yeah, it moves quick.
Straight to the good stuff.
That got disgusting real quickly.
She didn't play anyone involved in the incest. She was merely an onlooker.
I don't know if the voyeur is any better.
But she was only the watcher.
Sort of... Oh, she loves to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. She was the comedic value. She broke the tension.
This is always what I'm like. Whenever someone talks about incest, I'm like, the problem with incest is not enough like comedic value.
Right?
Yeah, people.
This is hilarious.
People don't want to laugh at incest.
They're sisters.
People don't want to laugh.
And they're having sex.
Yeah.
So funny. It's a classic.
Is this a festival of incest? I'm finding it hard.
Oh no!
No, this is the only play with incest. This is the only play with incest.
What was the other play about?
The other play. She played a stand-up comedian.
Okay. Now you've got my attention.
Yeah. She plays a stand-up comedian.
Did she have to
not
do
very
any
good.
Stand-up?
Yeah. She did. So she did like a stand-up monologue at the beginning of it. It was kind of like monologue, kind of like stand-up, but it wasn't funny. That was the whole point of the monologue.
Yeah.
And so she was using me for inspiration.
Oh, very nice.
How to be a stand-up.
Yeah.
Not an unfunny one. A funny one.
Yeah.
So she knew what not to do in the monologue.
Absolutely. Sure.
I mean, so as long as you know, she's been to an open mic with you.
Yeah,
she's seen.
She's seen many bad acts.
She's seen me,
many
me
bad
a couple
she knew
of times.
Was.
She's actually seen Sarah, so that's also.
Yeah. How was her posture during the set?
Hey.
If she was in a perfect C, then that's Sarah.
That's the key word, posture.
But she was great in both of them. She was very, very funny. Lots of people gave her lots of praise. And it was a really good festival. Oh my God. Something very funny happened in one of the plays. So I stayed for the whole thing. I watched all like 16 plays or however they were.
Right,
I watched a lot of plays that day.
What?
There was some good ones.
Literally,
there was some
bad ones. When you started this, I was like, that's the best version of a play I've ever heard. It's 15 minutes. It's over so quickly. And then you said you stayed for 16 of them.
What is that like? Is that like four hours of plays?
That's 4 hours.
No, it was like maybe it was only 12. I can't remember. But it was like in 3 hour segments. Okay, so you well, had an hour 12. Of plays. You took a break. Hour plays. Took a break. And then the last hour of play. She was in the second and the third section. But one of the plays just before Noelle's last one, the last one of the festival was the Noelle's one where she played a stand-up comedian. So that was the encore, the finale. Oh. But one of them beforehand was about a pirate. Like it was like a very whimsical like pirate character was like coming down the stairs. So it was in like a raked theater and someone was coming down the stairs. That's how it started. They were at the top of the stairs and they were doing their like opening monologue coming down the stairs. But as they got to the bottom of the stairs, the pirate, someone came in through the door and was like standing right in front of them. And they did the sort of thing where they were like, where do we go? Like everyone was looking at them and they were just like shuffling very awkward and no one was laughing. No one was acknowledging it. And I was losing it.
Oh my God.
It was so funny.
That's so
Wait,
good.
Did no one think because it was part of the play?
No. Everyone knew it wasn't part of the play. They were holding popcorn.
And nobody laughed. I would have laughed my head off.
No one laughed. I was laughing a lot.
And then Sarah would have stood up and this has been the longest.
This is the longest.
This is the longest 15-minute play.
This has been the longest play anyone has ever seen. Sarah, sit down. It's been 10 minutes.
I truly thought I'd been in that restaurant for 2 hours when I yelled that.
One of the few times I've ever taken like edibles was accidentally. And I mean, it was 17-year-old Mickey and I thought it was a real brownie.
It's the worst plan to make edibles. Oh no.
Yeah.
Oh,
no. And everyone else knew it was an edible brownie. And I was like, I love brownies.
A little snacky snack. Oh,
I wanted a snacky snack.
You're hungry.
I'm a hungry little baby. Oh. And then no one told me. They all thought it was so funny. And then they were like, yeah, no, it's horrible. So then they were like, kind of
bad friendship you expect at 17, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. So then they were like,
now, like, it was... people would be like, no, don't do that. But yeah.
Yes, of course. And then, yeah, so then they were like, it was inedible. And I was like, what? And I was like, oh, I was like, I'm not, I don't want to stay out with this. Like, yeah. I'm done now. So then I went home. But then I was just on the longest train ride I have ever been in my, and it was, I think, maybe 20 minutes. But I was like, fully, yeah. I was like, I've been here for 3 hours. How is it possible that my stop has not come?
Fern was saying that it's just because you're just having so many thoughts.
Right.
That it just feels like everything is like your mind is just moving so much quicker than it would normally move. That it just feels like everything's
right.
taking
yeah,
off.
Yeah.
It also didn't help that the moment I sat down, I wanted to leave. So I was like, even when you're not high, you're like trying to, if something takes ages, if you want to get out of it. And I was just like, I just can't.
That's why I'm always like, always just leave. Who also wants to be there with someone who doesn't want to be there? Just leave.
Well, I think the problem was is that everybody wanted to be there, and then when I left, nobody.
Well, you
else
were in a terrible. Yeah. You were in a terrible situation.
They were,
also,
they were apparently there for 2 more hours after I left.
Shut up!
Oh my god! So glad I left.
That is the longest dinner anyone's ever been to.
Absolutely.
Fern replied to me and said, it's a good thing you left before they lit the pancakes on fire. And I was like, what are you talking about?
So, wow. Well, amazing.
It was a big day. It was a big day.
You had a big day. You've seen Noelle act. Wow, this is big things. I haven't done anything this
big. How are you, Mickey?
Well, what have I got to tell you? I've got fucking nothing.
How's the car?
Yeah.
Oh my God, guys. I did my driving lesson with Saeed.
Mm.
I didn't tell you guys about this, did I?
Well, you told us that you were having a driving lesson.
Oh my God. Okay, yes. I did my driving lesson with Saeed, who was so confused about what I was doing there. Even though, I wanted a woman. I wanted like a woman because I felt like a woman would understand that she just needed to do like an hour of just like, oh my gosh, you're amazing. Yes, queen. I wanted that level of
why are you
yeah,
here? You know
I wanted
you're
that
yeah,
level
yeah.
of energy. Whereas Saeed was just like a very nice man, but he was just like, this is how you have to drive on this side. But I didn't feel any more confident after the lesson. Like I just felt like we went through the motions and he told me a lot of things I was doing wrong. And then, so in the end, he was like, yeah, you just need some polishing. And so I said, okay, I want another lesson. And then he said, why? Like, he was so exasperated with me. He was just like, for what possible reason?
Like, so he's just suggesting you get on with it, basically.
He was just basically like, you know how to drive, just get out there and drive. But that's not the problem. The problem is not that I know how to drive, but the problem is that I don't feel confident to like go onto the motorway.
Why is he complaining about being paid?
I said, but this is extra money for you. And then he went, yeah, it's fine. Like, and it's sort of like, hey, if you want to spend this money. But I just...
Did he feel like he was scamming you in some way or something like that?
Yeah, I think so. He was like a very nice man. And I think he just genuinely was like, I barely understand why you did this, why you did this one to begin with. And I don't understand why you want to pay me for another one. But I'm going to. But I did feel a lot better. Like I am going to. After this one, I'll be fine.
I'll teach you how to drive. Nice. I say this every week.
Yikes. We'll Can I tell you the funniest thing that happened yesterday?
To give us an edible and then I'll give you a driver's lesson.
Here we go. Perfect.
Longest driving lesson ever.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, it's me, Sarah. Thank you so much for listening to Thank Fuck for That. If you're enjoying the podcast, please sign up to our Patreon to support us. We need some help making it. We're doing it all by ourselves. So please sign up, even if it's just £3 a month. That would make the world of difference. Thanks so much. Here's the episode.
I want to tell you guys about what happened yesterday. I came home and Patrick was like, I owe you a huge apology. And something happened where like he does me wrong and he owed me an apology for it, but he had already done all of the work because he'd already realized he'd done it wrong. So then he'd gone through all of the motions of like, why? So when I came home, he basically said all the right things and it like, and then it was like impossible for me to get mad at him for the thing he'd done wrong. Know what I mean? So it's like you come home and then someone's already done all of the work in their head. So instead of you being like, what the hell? They've already done that in their head. So then like when you come to the point, you can't be mad because they've said all the right things. They're like, this is why I was wrong. This is how I've wronged you. This is how I feel. And I'm sorry. And so you can't, like, there's nothing to pick out. Like, they've done, like, a perfect. But I'm just hearing about it for the first time. Does this make sense?
Mm. He retroactively fixed it.
No, I want to get mad, but I can't get mad at you because you've already said all the right things.
You've already atoned for it. Yes. That's not fair.
I know, you have to find out. And then he said, but now you can get mad and that's not fair. So he did that bit right as well.
I think if you've wronged somebody, you have to go through the proper procedure. You have to tell them what you've done. Even if you fixed it, you have to wait and go,
you can't have any introspection until you get to like, until you're together.
Like, you're still mad
for me. Well, I was just so, but then also like, I was just like, but you've already said everything. Like, I just didn't know what to do. I was like, but I'm mad, but also like, you've already said everything. Like everything I would want to hear, you've already said. Oh, and I felt no vindication. That was the other thing. Because I was like, yeah, right about this thing.
Yeah, I'm annoyed about this. I'm angry at Patrick because of this.
Yes. Okay, but, this is why I wanted to tell you guys.
But I bet, yeah, I bet he's texting me.
He's thought about that anyway. As well.
Yeah, he's sending a message. Sorry about that. I'm aware that you probably don't have a good story for your podcast now. I really...
Also, like, the thing that had happened was so... It's such a, like, classic, like, couples... It's so pathetic. Do you know what I mean? Like, you don't have, yeah, like... Like, it had, like... It was, like, a huge metaphor, but it was, like, the thing itself was so pathetic. It was basically, like, we have these, like, USB extensions on our laptops. And yeah, we both have the same one. And at some, yeah, point, one of them disappeared. And I was like, do you know where it went? And then he said, you've lost it. And then I was like, but I don't remember taking it anywhere. I don't think I've lost it. And he was, yeah, like, he was like, this is mine. You've lost it. And then, and this is like months ago. And then today he was, and then yesterday I came home and he was like, I found where I put it. Yeah, thank you for this face, sir.
That's a crazy face.
We must burn him at the stake. He made you feel crazy. He made you feel crazy.
He did.
This is mad. This is mad. Yeah. You knew in your heart you hadn't done what you were saying.
I knew in my heart. So I was also quite angry at myself because I was like, I didn't stand up for myself at all.
I trusted you. You trusted him. Yeah. That's how much faith, yeah, you put in him. And then, yeah, what did he say? Gas. How had he repented for this already?
So when I came home, he was like, I owe you a huge apology. And then he basically said everything you just said. He was like, these are all the ways in which I've wronged you.
You go, yeah.
And I went,
yeah,
and I
went, you're right.
Yeah, I went, yeah. And then he was like, I am so sorry. And I completely understand if you'd be mad at me. Because there wasn't like anything like there was no like, you've done this bit wrong and I've done this bit wrong. He was just like, I fully only 100% done this thing wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. He's a bad guy, Mickey. He's a bad guy.
I think couple things are so funny.
This is a red flag, Mickey.
I know, but it's been 6 years. What can you do?
If he's lying to you about that, what else is he lying about?
I love that you had such a huge, yeah, reaction to it because I was like, the thing that you fight about is so stupid because you'll just be like, we both have a USB stick.
I'm just being a bit silly, really.
You need to bring this up again in the future.
Oh, yeah. This is the one. Yeah, you're going to be fighting about this for years.
Yeah. When he's trying to convince me that I've lost the car.
This is just like the hard drive.
The USB all over again. Why don't you check your rucksack, Patrick?
When he's trying to convince, yeah, the or our future children, then you know, I'll be like, okay. As we've learned before, I never do anything wrong. That's my takeaway from this.
Children, listen up, gather round. Your father lies.
Yeah. Well, I've lost the children, so you know they're not there.
They're gone. That's not your fault.
It's never.
Patrick probably lost.
What we've learned from this is that in the future, nothing will ever be my fault.
Nothing at all.
It's a valuable lesson.
Really.
God, he's a scumbag, isn't he? He's a scumbag.
Don't know why you still hang out with that loser.
God, he's a scumbag. No, you're right, though. Couples' arguments are so ridiculous. So I think...
That's so stupid.
I feel like I might have told you this already, but Louisa and I had like the most ridiculous falling out about the odd sock bag. Have I told you this?
Yeah, you did.
But it was.
I don't know if you said it on the pod, but you definitely
I don't think
told
so. Because maybe you just told Lucas. What, you just told Lucas this great anecdote?
This is so one anecdote. You know, if it involves the odd sock bag, it's going to be a fucking belter.
You have a bag full of odd socks?
Yeah.
You said the odd sock bag, as if that is a thing that
I do. You not have a bag of odd socks?
No.
We have a box.
A box.
You have a box?
Yeah, we have a whole box. That's how many odd socks we have.
Do you not have a procedure for when you get a few socks through in the wash and they don't have pairs? So you put them somewhere and then when more come through, you can check the odd sock bag to see if the odd socks are...
And then you pair them.
I do not have a system for this.
What do you do with them when they come through a singular
entity?
Put
them in my sock drawer.
That's chaos.
Wow.
So you've just got socks hanging out with groups of socks. I think right now
I've got like one solo sock.
How can you ever keep an eye on them though? How can you?
Well, it's one of them.
So you just have a mental track of all the odd socks you have. One isn't a lot, to be fair.
This is why you lost that USB chip.
Okay, so what happened with the odd sock bag?
It was just the dumbest argument, but you know when it's something ridiculous kind of escalates.
Because
I've introduced the concept of the odd sock bag to Louisa.
Yeah.
She didn't necessarily agree with it. But then suddenly, one day, the tide turned. Suddenly, she's very on board with it. But then I realised that she was using the odd sock bag just to kind of hide the socks that she wasn't pairing them. She wasn't pairing them. So I go to have a little look in the odd sock bag. There's pair after pair after pair in there. there's like a swingers party.
Making the true odd socks feel bad.
Really feel bad. What are you guys? This isn't for you.
This is not for you.
It's getting crowded in here.
It's couples in the singles bar. Get out of here.
It's not fair.
Flaunting their togetherness.
And then I made a mistake. I said something passive aggressive. You know, I think I said something like, you know, the odd sock system is not going to work if you are not pairing the socks as you go.
Oh my god! Yeah, this is what I'm talking about. It's so funny.
Yeah, it's so stupid.
And
I think Louisa, I just hit at the wrong time where I think Louisa had probably spent most of the day tidying the fucking flat. So she's looking at me like, are you fucking joking right now?
Are you joking about this old sock thing?
Are you coming at me? She's there with like full rubber.
You're prioritizing the feelings of some odd socks over
she's
mine.
She's got rubber gloves on. She's deep cleaned the whole house. And I'm going, babe.
She's got oven grease on her face.
Yeah, yeah. Literally hair sticking up on end. And I'm going, babe, this system is not going to work if you don't get involved. So, and it just, you know, something like that happens, it just hits the wrong time. And I'm going, but you've got to respect the odd sock system, baby.
It's like when you have fights with siblings. It's like, they're just so stupid. It's like, then, you couldn't even tell anyone about them.
The most embarrassing bit is the apologies, right? The most embarrassing thing is because we have a little fallout and then I go to her and I go, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said anything to you about the odd sock bag. And she's going, no, you're right about the odd sock bag. You are right. You just caught me at a bad time. But we're having these sincere, you know, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. And I will pair the odd socks from now on. Don't worry about it.
Oh my God. After this USB thing happened, we had like a Shakespearean level, like tragedy sort of like, you know, conversation. It was huge. I was crying. There was so much happening.
What are you crying about? He's come home. After all these months, he's home.
He has dishonored the house of Overman.
Cradling the USB stick.
Yeah.
My baby.
What we didn't realise is that for the however long it's been missing, Mickey's been sleepwalking in the night, staring out of the window.
I have. I cried out in my arms. I said, you've been behind the television this whole time.
Yeah. Your father was a brute.
I don't stay with him for the one mistake he's made. I stay with him for everything he's done right.
Me and Louisa do wedding vows. I'm saying I promise to pair your odd socks for the rest of your life.
Oh my God, my cousins did wedding vows like that.
Oh, fuck off. No,
yeah,
that sounds nice.
They like they forwent like all of the traditional vows, and all their vows were like really this is a Dutch wedding. So all their vows were like really practical things that there was no like forever in them. There was no like love you, blah blah blah. It was just like, I promise I will make you breakfast twice a week.
For the time being.
It was like really like
for the time being. For the
foreseeable future. Yeah.
They did vows like that. Yeah.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
That's good.
And then all their food was vegan. Now you tell me which one of those vows.
These like freaks.
Says the person who ordered a bowl of rice.
Yeah. Two bites of rice.
Just a bowl of rice.
That has nothing to do with dietary requirements and everything to do with mild panic.
Yes. Yeah. But you could have at least put some sauce on it.
Can I just have some rice, please?
Stuffing a bowl of rice in your face. This is the longest meal.
Oh, God, I've been here for hours.
Because you're eating rice with chopsticks. Yeah. That's why it's taking so long.
Yeah, does anyone know how to do that? Because I'm not good at that.
Yeah, you gotta put them together and you eat it like a spoon. So you like balance the rice there, I think.
Oh. I had a roast the other day, and then my problem with a chicken roast is that at some point I end up just forgoing like the forks and knives, because like I've already picked up the chicken and like I've eaten that with my hands, you know, because it's on a bone. And then I'm like, well, my hands are filthy now.
Yeah.
The broccoli is right there.
Might as well stick them in the gravy pot.
let's go for it. Yeah, that's what I do.
Yeah.
And then I eat the rest, including the potatoes and the veg. I eat
and the mash. You eat the mash with your hands.
You don't eat a roast with your bare hands. You don't.
And then I eat the rest of it with my bare hands.
No, you don't.
I do. And then I was in a pub with friends, because it was Neil O'Rourke's birthday. Speaking of Neil O'Rourke. And we were in the pub, and someone said to me, "Do you eat a roast with your hands?" And I was like, "Yeah." At some point, I usually just end up eating it with my hands.
If I had been there in that pub and I'd seen that, I would have called the police. I would have phoned the police and gone, "I'm in a pub. It's my friend. She's eating a roast with her bare hands."
But why? I mean, like, you're eating the chicken with your hands.
It's just...
because it's got gravy on it. Everything's got gravy on it, and it's wet.
But it's so nice.
You look like a maniac.
No, it's not.
It's so nice. I really like eating with my hands.
What about the stuffing? The stuffing's literally crumbly. That's why you eat it with a fork.
Yeah, there was no stuffing, to be fair.
What do you do with your hands at the end of the meal? And in between bites, are you having to sit there with your hands out like that?
Are you licking off the gravy?
Are you licking your fingers?
Between each bite?
Are you licking your fingers?
This roast is looking good.
It's a sad question, Mickey. Are you licking your fingers?
I'm pleading the fifth on the grounds that it may incriminate me.
It will, as it should.
I'm never having a roast with you if that's what's going on.
That should be illegal.
Yeah, but this doesn't just happen with roasts. It happens when there's like a thing that you eat with your hands in the meal, and then once I've started, there's no turning back for me.
Yeah. You get triggered suddenly.
I love this pub, by the way.
This
pub, can I just say before you guys get any more mad at me, because I don't think I can handle the scrutiny. The pub that we were in
with your bear
was so good. It had like really quiet music playing. Like, you know how pubs in England are so loud? It had like really quiet music playing. And then there was just like a shuffleboard game in the middle of the pub. I was like, I don't know if I'm old, but this is my favorite pub experience I've had in a long time. I can hear everybody. I've just ate a meal with my hands. And now I've gotten the gravy all over the shuffleboard.
I was going to say, you didn't play shuffleboard covered in gravy, did you?
Yeah, covered in gravy. The gravy that was left. The gravy that was left in the little pot that came to the side. At the end of the meal, I was just pouring it over my hands.
Licking it off.
This one's for later.
You're going, Patrick, wipe my hands. Punishment. It's the least you can do, Patrick.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yesterday he said he made a really great stew, and I was like, he batch cooked a really great stew, and I was like, I'll be having some of that.
Yeah, I'll be eating that with my royal bare hands.
I'll be having some of that with my bare hands.
Let me get my hands on that.
I can't believe that you guys are mad at me for the bare hands. It's
boiling hot.
Yeah, I feel
it's just crazy.
I'm picturing it.
No, it's just not finger food. You know, there's finger food. Finger food has to have chips in it. If it had chips in it, maybe. But it's because it's vegetables, stuffing, Yorkshire puddings. How do you eat Yorkshire puddings with your hands?
It's the potato.
What do
you mean? That's really getting me.
You tear it. The potato. You can just pick up, dip it in the gravy. Nom nom.
Yeah, the Yorkshire pudding.
The Yorkshire pudding, that's like you...
Tear it like it's a piece of paper.
You tear it off.
And you're doing this while surrounded by people who are using a knife and fork.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they're the crazy ones. In India, they eat curry with their hands. What are you guys talking about?
Culturally in India, it makes perfect sense. I think it does. It makes sense.
I'm appropriating Indian culture for the English roast.
English pub eating a roast with your bare hands is not the same.
I was just saying, you're going to get a lot of slack from English people. Expect it. We're going quite light on you, I think, Mickey.
Yeah. This is terrible scrutiny.
I'm holding back.
I can't believe you think this is light. You're holding back.
I'm holding back. I was about to book a ticket home to slap you in the face. Imagine that. We hang up, and then in 48 hours, I stride through your door stinking of plane and just slap you in the face.
Still angry about it 48 hours later.
I'm seething on the plane.
I think I'd just be happy to see you.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
That's nice.
That is nice.
And then we go and get a rope.
Look at me de-escalating this situation. Be lovely to see you.
Oh yeah, if you want to, come over. Come on over.
Come over. We have a playtime. We'll do a roast. I'll eat it with my hands. You'll get all angry all over me. You'll slap me in the face right there. I slap you back. You're covered in gravy.
But I'm politely eating with my bare hands as well, so we're both covered in gravy. We're having a gravy slap fight.
If you did that, I think I would convert you about the eating with your hands thing.
No chance. I'm very strong in my convictions.
Well, that is true, actually.
Did you have the roast on Sunday?
Yeah.
At least. Good.
Oh, I would never be so...
Well, actually, I had a roast on Friday. I have roast any day of the week.
Why am I getting all the flack? Thursdays.
Every day
you're
is
next
a great
on my
day
slap
for
list.
No, please. Every day is a good day for a
slap
roast.
Slap list is getting long.
It's cheaper at the Toby Carvery on the weekdays. And I now have a membership for Toby Carvery.
That's quite the sentiment.
Saddest declaration I've ever heard in my life.
Look at this. One stamp. No one steal that. This is censored.
Oh, my God.
One stamp.
By the way...
Ready whenever.
This is what you have in common, by the way, because your attitude towards that app is exactly how Mickey feels about the Pizza Express app.
I was just about to say, that's like the Pizza Express app. And then I was about to tell you that, you know what? Patrick's about to lose his gold membership because we haven't been in a long time.
It's the least he deserves, is it not?
It's karma.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He has to go like 7 times. He has to eat like 7 pizzas by like July if he were to keep his gold membership.
Well, Patrick doesn't deserve any pizza.
No, he doesn't.
He's going to be on June 31st. He's going to be surrounded by 7 pizzas. Like, come on, we can do this.
Yeah. See, those I eat with a knife and fork.
I'm hanging up.
No, I don't. I don't.
You're killing me.
I don't. I'm lying. I know this is an audio medium, but if the people, the Patreon people can see it on video, if you just saw Lucas and Sarah's faces, I was like, I need to back out of this joke immediately. Yeah, you're so angry with me.
I've never seen you go back on a joke so quickly, actually.
I'm getting like back out. All right. I think it's been a very food heavy podcast.
Very food heavy.
It has.
We had rice.
Very food rice heavy.
To roasts.
Roasts.
It's made me hungry. I want to have some breakfast now.
Go get yourself some brekkie.
I'm going to. Is there anything we want to tell the listeners? We have one more.
Stay one true more. To yourselves.
No, we have one more of these Zoomy ones, and then we'll be back. And then Sarah will be back in the country to slap me in the face.
Yeah,
and they will. And they
will put that on Patreon.
Yeah, subscribe to the Patreon and to see that gravy slap.
Only fans, I think that is.
Oh yeah.
That's for the freaks.
That's a niche. Gravy slap.
That's niche. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything to say? Anything to plug?
Anything for the trolley? My tour tickets are still on sale. If you want to come and see me on tour, it'd be lovely to see you there in the autumn. Mm.
I'm going to be at Brighton Fringe on the 4th and 5th of May. If anyone in Brighton wants to come see me, I'm doing my work in progress.
I'm sure somebody. If you're from Brighton, let us know. I bet we've got listeners in Brighton.
Yeah.
I bet we do too.
Come on down.
We have a fan page now. Have you seen the fan page?
Oh, yeah.
Yes! It's
huge,
so
news.
Nice.
Huge news.
Everyone follow the fan page.
Very exciting. Very, very exciting. Little illustrations, which are very cute.
They're very cute.
Yeah,
really pleased with that.
Can I tell you something? Yesterday, someone came up to me and said they listened to the pod after a gig that I was doing, and I didn't freak out.
Whoa!
What did you say?
I took it like a note. I said, "Lovely."
Oh, lovely.
How lovely.
How lovely. I took it like a normal person.
I took it like a normal person instead of going, you know about the pod?
Don't tell anyone.
How did you hear about the pod?
We have a fan page now. I can't be like, you know about the pod.
Yeah, that's true. We're really going up in the world.
We're going up in the world. This is very and look at, I mean, Lucas and I, last time you woke up at 7, Sarah. Lucas and I woke up at 8 to do this. People are going to be listening to this and be like, 8? You fucking asshole. But we work in the night.
We work in the night.
It's different. It's different.
We're people of the night. We're not used to this.
Thank you all so much for listening. And you'll hear us next time.
You will hear us next time.
Thank you for listening to Thank Fuck for That. It was hosted by Mickey Overman and Sarah Keyworth. It was produced by Lucas Jeffcoat with music from Ben Cavanaugh.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.